morning. Can you scoot this way a little bit so we can get Bill through? Okay, we have Lauren and Anna and Lindsay and Alex. I'm really glad everybody's here. And what does it look like we're going to do this morning?
Plant seeds.
We're going to plant seeds. And we all get to have one of these cups. So everybody take one of these cups. And, all right. And things kind of shifted around a little. Oops, this one's a little leaky, but we'll get you one that's not quite so leaky. There, we got enough for everybody. All right, now, we got to open the seed packet. And I want you to make two or three holes in your dirt with that, all right? Can you do that? If the seed packet will come open someday, doesn't want to. Now, what are these things? Do those look very fancy? Are they very pretty? No, they're not, are they? Oops, I dropped one. But what do you know about them? What do you think we're going to, huh?
They're seeds.
They're seeds. And what'll happen?
They'll grow into a flower.
They'll grow into a flower? Really? Will they grow into a flower? Will they look like this? You know that for sure, that they look like this flower on the outside? One of the many ways that we have faith day to day is we trust these little black and brown things that look kind of almost like a burr, that you plant those. Here, take one for each of your little holes there. Can you plant it in your pot? Each one of those has the potential, if we take good care of it, get it to sprout, keep it watered while it's growing, and plant it out in the flower bed, each one of those has the potential to grow into a flower that's taller than you and is gorgeous, just like you guys are gorgeous. Even though it looks pretty funny right now, we can have faith, we can trust that there is going to be a flower. Do you need any more seeds, Lindsay?
One got stuck on the side.
Okay, you got it?
Nope.
Alex, can she have the knife back so she can poke with it? Oops, here we go. All right. And every day, as people of faith, we trust that God is there, that God loves us. You got what you need?
Yep.
Okay.
I got the seed.
Okay, can you put it back in there? Can you bury it in the dirt? We can trust that God is with us, God loves us, and God is calling us to spread God's love everywhere. Even if we can't always see God or feel God or know that God's there, we can have faith that God loves us and God always takes care of us. All right? Anybody has anything they need to share? No? Okay. All of those can be... Here, let me take the knife back. All of those can be closed... Oops! Boy, the janitor's not going to like me very much, is she? You can take those home, seal them up, take them home. Okay, let's do it this way, Alex, so we don't... Can you hold it up straight? Just hold the cup. Hold the cup. There we go. Okay, try to keep it up straight so that the dirt doesn't fall all over the place. All right, and those things can be pulled up and tied if you want. All right. Can you do it?
Yeah.
It's a really long piece of plastic, isn't it? Okay. Very good. That's the way. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to set them down for just a minute. We're going to hold hands and say a prayer. Okay. Thank you. Jesus, we thank you for teaching us in ways that we could understand. We ask that you help all of our children grow in their faith, be strong, and let the world see you glow in their gorgeous faces. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Mr. Bill has plans for you, and you can take your seed. Please, would you pray with me? Ruler of heaven and earth, timeless God, we seek your face. Help us to know you, hear you, obey you. We thank you for blessings beyond measure. We thank you for plenty, for sharing, for compassion, for love. We thank you for work, for leisure, for dried tears, and rediscovered joy. Jesus, teacher, show us your path. Call us to peace in our hearts, our homes, your world. Holy Spirit, breathe through us. Make us humble. Make us courageous. Make us yours. We pray all this in the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. From Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 4, verses 1 to 5 and 13 to 17. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the faith, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who, without works, trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Here ends the reading from the book of Romans. A member was trying to open a supply closet at the church, but she must have remembered the lock's combination wrong, so she brought the pastor to help. He tried once and failed. Then he looked toward heaven, and she saw his lips moving silently. He looked down at the lock, did it one more time, and opened it. She began to rave about how great was the pastor's faith until he interrupted her. No. That wasn't my fate. The combination is on a sticker there on the ceiling. My message this morning, it's faith. I like the Apostle Paul. I take Paul seriously. Still, sometimes his explanations leave more questions than answers. Maybe it's because he was working in Greek, not his first language, probably, and in very deep water. In seminary, I took a semester class on the Corinthian letters from a professor who did her PhD work on Paul's letters to his churches at Corinth. I've spent some time with Paul, and you will get my best understanding. But biblical interpretation is human guesswork. Your mileage may vary. Paul was a serious scholar of the Jewish scriptures, basically our Old Testament. Thus, he had to make sense of what Jesus taught and the faith he left us with in relation to the people who had faithfully lived and carried that faith for thousands of years. Jesus was not planning to start a new religion. Jesus was the fulfillment of God's ancient promise to the people of Israel. Judaism and the refinements given us by Jesus, the Messiah, had to be internally coherent. They had to fit hand in glove. They had to work together because there is but one God and one faith. Thus, Paul interprets Abraham's faithfulness in light of Paul's new perspective through Jesus. The stories of Abraham originate 2,000 to 3,000 years before Christ. Abraham was first known as Abram. His name means father of a multitude or father of the nations. He is a patriarch of Islam as well as the Jews, since his son Ishmael founded the Muslim line. Abraham and his wife Sarah moved on God's orders from the Fertile Crescent, which is Mesopotamia, also called Chaldea or Babylon, to Palestine, to Egypt, and back to Palestine. Abraham had no children until he was over 90 years old. In a time when family was one's safety net, health insurance, and pension plan, moving hundreds of miles away from home was not done. Abraham moved on faith at God's command. Abraham had some extended family with him. Lot was his nephew. They had great wealth in large flocks and hundreds of servants and slaves. Yet what makes Abraham legendary is his great faith. Even over age 90, without a single child, Abraham believed when God said he would become father to a multitude. Even when he and Sarah had a precious child, Isaac, in their old age, Abraham trusted God when God said to tie him up and offer his son as a sacrifice. The way Paul quotes Genesis 15, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. In spite of plenty of contradictory evidence, Abraham believed and trusted God. Now, to cut the rest of us a little slack, Abraham had a clearer view of his Maker than most of us. Angels showed up at Abraham's tent. In Genesis 18, Abraham famously debated God about the justice of destroying Sodom and Gomorrah if any of the residents might be good, righteous people. Abraham knew God up close, personally, and Abraham had faith. Paul spent time with the risen Christ. Paul traveled to preach and teach and bring his listeners to have faith in Christ. Here, in his letter to the Romans, Paul argued that Abraham was revealing his faith in his works. But he was not righteous because of what he did. He was righteous because of his faith. Yes, you demonstrate your faith in your work, but the faith is what matters. We can keep faith even when we make mistakes. We can keep faith through human failings, addiction, slavery, imprisonment. We may not have a penny to give, but we can still keep faith with the carpenter of a new creation. For several years, the government of Syria has been trying to crack down on a revolution. Ahmed Zeno, a 27-year-old architect, has been quietly leading a nonviolent revolt. To persist in a nonviolent revolution, one must keep faith that the cause is just and that nonviolence can succeed. Think back to our images from the 1960s of police dogs and water hoses being turned on civil rights marchers walking peaceably in their Sunday clothes. In October 2011 in Damascus, Syria, one morning every public fountain in every square turned blood red. Passers-by surreptitiously recorded the images and sent them out to the world. Security forces scrambled to turn off the fountains. It took them a full week to change the water in all those fountains. Zeno laughs when he recalls releasing bright orange ping pong balls printed with "Hurry-ya!" or "Freedom," releasing them on the streets and watching big men with guns scurry to catch and subdue the bouncy reminders of their freedom. After 2 years of balloons, of hiding speakers in trees to replay speeches, playing video of demonstrations in public squares, and frequently misdirecting the security forces, Zeno was exiled from Syria. When government security forces began torturing and killing protesters in spring 2011, Zeno's young friends beat war drums. But he called them to rise above, keep faith. He said, "Whatever happens, we must try to use a different language. We know the regime will keep shooting and keep bombing us. People will die. But if we start shooting back, more people will get killed." That fall, other protesters formed the Free Syrian Army. As word of the conflict came our way, we flailed about trying to figure out who was a persecutor, who was a freedom fighter. If everyone is killing, is anyone innocent? At least 120,000 Syrians are dead. 7 million are refugees or displaced. Yet when bullets and bombs are falling on our neighbors, who could keep faith in nonviolence? When his friends took up weapons, Zeno held fast to a peaceful path. He said, "I can't speak with a weapon." If you don't want to speak with weapons, you must speak a different language. As protests grew larger and security forces grew more deadly, Zeno still saw the power of their creative, nonviolent actions. When fearful, uncertain people across Damascus woke that October morning to fountains running blood red, they were heartened, encouraged, strengthened. When the trees throughout the city began playing a patriotic song banned by the government, then Zeno's speech calling on all to stop the killing, bold listeners flooded the streets laughing, singing, and cheering. Zeno was arrested and released. His nonviolent group continued. They released balloons and ping pong balls bearing messages of peace and brotherhood. But the violence caught fire more quickly. In today's Syria, we see the muddled, bloody outcome. Jesus taught us nonviolence. That sounds like a really good thing to teach the children in Sunday school, doesn't it? But should we have faith in it? In a world of automatic weapons, can nonviolent, peaceful resistance be effective? In a study of 323 protests since 1900 by political scientist Erica Chenoweth, nonviolent protests were effective twice as often as violence. People with guns want us to believe they can defend against injustice. However, when everyone is shooting, innocence, righteousness is difficult to find. When we watched the Twin Towers crumble and saw the aftermath of 2001's terrorist attacks, columnist Trudy Rubin suggested we fight terrorism with schools, clinics, and love your neighbor. But instead, this nation that calls itself Christian invaded two countries and killed hundreds of thousands, including our own brave young people. Bullets did not work again. Through bombs, bullets, and torture, we created more terrorists. Bill Moyer said recently, if we had spent that money on higher education, college would be free for all for 58 years. Having faith can be as simple as living below your means to contribute to God's realm. Jose Mujica, the president of Uruguay, is called the poor president. He gives away 90% of his salary to efforts such as housing projects. Mujica hopes to leave behind a little more justice in Uruguay. When asked about his poverty, he explains how free he is living with so little and declares, I am frugal, not poor. Abraham had great faith. Abraham was not always right. Questions remain about his renting out his wife and when he sent his elder son and the boy's mother off into the wilderness. You live 175 years, you're bound to slip occasionally. But if we have faith, our lives will look faithful more often than not. Those around us will see glimpses of love God and love neighbor. When hit hard, we will have faith in God's justice and hold fast to what we know as we contribute to the peace of Christ. We will turn the other cheek. We will love our enemies. Even when being peaceful is beyond human ability, we will trust that nothing is beyond the Holy One who sustains each of us and sustains our enemies as well. Abraham did not get to relax in his Mesopotamian hammock and yak about faith. When God said jump, Abraham said, how high? When God said your descendants will outnumber the stars, Abraham trusted. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Have faith. Amen.